Hello and welcome to the Advocacy Institute's Experts on the Record. Today is September 15th, 2009, and this is Candace Cordiella, Director at the Institute. As our listeners likely know, the 2004 amendments to the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, or IDEA, and the federal regulations published in 2006 significantly changed the way students suspected of having specific learning disabilities, or SLD, are identified and found eligible for special education. The federal regulations directed states to develop state criteria aligned with the federal regulations and to require all school districts within the state to follow those criteria. Our guests today, Dr. Ed Schultz and Dr. Tammy Stevens, conducted an analysis of state policies regarding SLD identification procedures. They are here with us today to discuss their findings. Dr. Edward Schultz is an assistant professor at the West College of Education at Midwestern State University, located in Wichita Falls, Texas, in addition to teaching undergraduate and graduate courses at MSU. He has been a special education teacher, educational consultant, and an educational diagnostician. His research interests include multi-tiered systems of support, SLD identification, and special education policy. Dr. Tammy Stevens is an assistant professor of special education at Texas Women's University. Her research interests include early identification and intervention of struggling students and effective sound assessment practices. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's begin our discussion. What prompted you to do this analysis? We'll start with Dr. Schultz.
Well, all right. As you said earlier, my interest is really SLD identification and policy, and so studying the amendments in 04, I just couldn't wait for the regulations to come out because I knew that nothing was going to change special ed like this, or special ed or the way we serve all kids. So it's really the analysis was just I was prompted really by a strong interest in how states are going to interpret these regulations. And I guess really the whole magnitude of the change that's going to have to occur to implement the regulations. It was just very interesting to see that.
Yes, it certainly was a major change since and those regulations had been in place essentially since they were originally promulgated. So it had been a long time in bringing them up to date as well, I think a lot of people felt. Tammy?
Yes.
How did you get involved in this?
Well, Ed kind of pulled me into it, but as far as we know that there's traditionally that variability in which the ways that states interpret the federal law, and we just wanted to kind of go in and see with these the changes if we were going to see a diminished variability among the states, and we were interested in looking at how RTI data was going to be pulled into the eligibility process, and then looking at the discrepancy model and whether they were, you know, going to continue that, and if so, were they going to continue that by itself or with RTI, or looking at some of the other eligibility methods that were being used as well. So it was pretty eye opening.
And
so
let me add something, too. Both Tammy and I are both in charge of educational diagnostician preparation programs. And so during that period between 04 and 06, in our state at least, there was just a lot of apprehension on how are we going to identify kids. And so there was questions with us in higher ed is how are we going to prepare DIAGs? Traditionally, we've prepared diagnosticians on giving tests and doing the math and doing simple discrepancy. And it's had huge implications on our practice, but that was also a driving force behind this, is to find out, you know, how are we going to implement and train these new diagnosticians?
That's right.
Okay, so as we all know, the current IDEA law and regulations state that school districts cannot be required to take into consideration whether a child has a discrepancy between achievement and ability. However, use of the discrepancy was not prohibited in these regulations. Did your analysis find continued use of discrepancy to be widespread?
Definitely. And not so much maybe the use, but the allowance mm-hmm. of that method to identify. Tammy and I both want to research further and really, really see, for example, several of the states allowed a discrepancy and RTI. So we don't, it's too early to tell which one they adopted and what kind of impact it made. So our one thing that was noticeable without really comparing it to what they did in past years, what we noticed was a big trend is the states that did allow discrepancy, it was not the simple difference model. It was regression.
Regression. That's
and
right.
So that was, you know, which from our literature review showed it's got its limitations, but it's much better than a simple discrepancy, that's for sure. But 39 states still continue to allow it, and only 11 states, when we took our snapshot of the regulations, disallowed it.
Right. And as Ed said, it was some of the states are allowing, having RTI and a discrepancy. Some are, discrepancy only. So there's still some, and then we're going to talk about this later, but there's still a little bit of variability within the states.
Can you, can one of you tell us in a nutshell what regression application to the discrepancy means?
Yes, well, the big criticism, one of the biggest criticisms of discrepancy was the simple difference model where we just subtracted standard scores. And with regression, we still do subtraction and we compare scores, but there's other statistically sound principles that go along with it, like the standard error of the estimate or the standard error of measurement and the natural tendency for two scores when you compare them for one to regress towards the mean or be average after you take it. So it's a much more mathematically sound manner to determine discrepancy versus just simply subtracting standard scores.
Okay, thank you. So what are some of the most positive changes to the SLD identification process that you have seen across the states as you put together your snapshot?
I think, for me, I think the most positive is the way that schools are going about being more proactive in identifying students who are struggling early on and providing that intervention prior to even referring them for special education. And making sure that they're receiving that adequate instruction prior to referral. The other thing I think is great is we're using more of a database instructional decision-making now. We're gathering a lot more information about the students' strengths and weaknesses before they're ever referred for the special education evaluation. So those are two of the main areas that I see as positive, the early intervention.
Ed?
Oh, definitely. RTI, I think most definitely, is just the attention to early intervention and the focus on instruction. It can only help. And I think what we one of the discoveries that we made in our data was a lot of the states specifically mentioned the use of professional judgment. And I've been kind of saying that the use and return of professional judgment, because I think that one of the problems with the discrepancy model was the over-reliance on that single score. And even though we were supposed to use a variety of assessment tools and techniques, it always seemed to, or majority of the time it seemed to come down to that simple difference or that score. And a lot of the states have provided a lot more guidance on professional judgment, which kind of goes along with what Tammy said. There's a lot more data to analyze versus just the test scores.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is the states that are using, most people are familiar with RTI by now and familiar with discrepancy in some form or fashion. What I see that's positive is some of the processing approaches that I think it holds a lot of promise because it requires professional judgment and it really does inform specialized instruction and evaluation and incorporates a variety of assessment tools and strategies, which I think just can really be done in a complementary fashion within RTI. I see them really as complementary approaches. And the better each one is done, the stronger I think the SLD evaluation will be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So based on your findings, have the changes to the federal regulations resulted, do you think, in more consistency across the states, or you indicated earlier that you continue to see a lot of variation?
Yes, and there's still a lot of variation out there. We're seeing a lot more consistencies within that RTI framework that's being used from state to state, although we're in the process of conducting a study where we're looking at how each state defines RTI, and we know that, you know, there's states that have three-tiered models, there's states that four-tiered. We're trying to look and see at what point, at which tier do students get referred for and considered for special education. But as Ed was saying, we're still seeing discrepancy, regression. We're seeing some states that are focusing mainly on strengths and weaknesses. There's some states that have just RTI data is used. So I think there's still a lot of variability out there in the process.
I do too. I saw a lot of variability in just the way we identify using regression or something like that, but I do see a little more consistency in the framework for RTI. I know there's some subtle differences in different states, but as far as the framework and the models are pretty consistent, and I think that can only help. I think the strength really of any identification approach, whether it be discrepancy processing, is dependent on how strong of an RTI process is in place. I really think that's going to bear out in time.
So you mentioned that you saw some states that are using a process that relies solely on information from an RTI process for eligibility determination. Would that, in fact, not be contrary to a comprehensive evaluation?
Well, it's still comprehensive, and I think that's one of the, you know, the biggest points of discussion about identification is how, like, for instance, there's some states that do not require a cognitive assessment as part of the evaluation,
right,
although there's all the other ones. And there's some that states, a couple states, describe discrepancy as a discrepancy between CBM data or curriculum-based measurement data. The discrepancy is where a child is and where he should be. So they call that discrepancy. And I think that's one of the biggest controversies right now is if using RTI data alone or without cognitive assessment, should I say, doesn't really maintain the integrity of A, the definition of learning disabilities. And I'm afraid if we don't have some kind of variety of assessment tools and strategies to assess it, we could do the same thing with RTI as we've done with Simple Difference. I think that has to be complementary. And it just any approach by itself, I think, is not as strong as a integrated approach.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. I agree with the integrated approach. And I think there's a lot of information, good information out there that you can obtain from RTI, as well as there's a lot of great information out there about the child and the way the child learns from the cognitive assessment. So I'm in agreement. I think there needs to be a combination.
And it's a great topic for research, and that was one of the purpose of this was, okay, we're going to take a point in time right now and say, what is everybody doing? And then we can look down the years, 5 years, 6 years, whatever, and see if that approach had any impact on learning disabilities as a whole. I mean, I've really enjoyed reading your report, the LD report that just came out from the National Center of Learning Disabilities, that the categories decreased 244% from almost half. And some of it we have to look at what changes have been going on and our attention to early intervention and things like that have put a little mark in it. So it's exciting.
So I guess that leads us into our last question, which is, do you think that these changes that you have found in the determination procedures will result in fewer students being identified as SLD?
I definitely do, and I'll let Tammy finish this up. Because of the attention to the instruction prior to referral. So I think our referral system is strong from traditional referral systems. A lot more work's being done before they get referred. And then, B, the attention that gets paid to them once once they're referred, how most of the regs do really stress more of a variety. There's a kind of a de-emphasis on that single score, and I think that's kind of been put in everybody's mind that it's not just about that score. So I think the amount of data and the time spent prior to referral, it can do nothing but decrease special ed numbers.
I agree. I think that we're going to see more and more decreases, especially as states get these RTI models firmed up too and refined, and they get the early identification intervention practices in place and get help to those students early on. I think we're going to see further decreases.
So when you did your snapshot, you captured what you found in each state's State Department of Education website with regard to their regulations or state laws for the school year 08-09.
Yes, we did. We started really collecting the data right before the school year started, to where this is what they were going to use for this upcoming school year, and most of the data was collected in the summer prior to the summer and early fall of 08.
Right, and we do plan to go back and confirm and update some of the changes that's been made since then, because we realized that when we went in and conducted our analysis, many of the states were in transition at the time, and we know that there are some states that have since updated what they were reporting back then. So we want to go back in and take another look.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing your time with us today. This certainly was a major and brave undertaking on your part, and I think it's certainly been interesting to talk with you about it and hopefully be able to offer people some a way to access the information that you've provided so far, and we will be interested in following your work and continuing to stay in touch with you. So thanks for being with us today, and we appreciate all of your interest in this topic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.